Let's look to John chapter 10 this morning, verses 1 through 21. John 10, 1 through 21, as you turn there. let me remind you quickly where we've been in John. Back in chapter 7, Jesus went to Jerusalem, to the temple, during the Feast of Tabernacles. And during that time, he revealed himself as the life and the light of the world. And that stirred up a great bit of controversy, with some people believing in him and others wanting to arrest him. And we saw in John chapter 9, Jesus come to the man who was born blind and heal him. And this eventually led to the blind man being hauled before the authorities, where he was interrogated and questioned. And he had the opportunity to bear witness to who Jesus is and what Jesus had done for him. And so he got the boot. He was kicked out of the synagogue, excommunicated, we might say. He was removed from their midst. And what we see at the end of John chapter 9 is this man who's been excluded. What does the Lord Jesus do? He goes looking for him. He seeks him out. He finds him, and he begins to speak to him with things to say about himself as the good shepherd, as well as a lot of things to say about false shepherds. And Jesus says these things within earshot of the Pharisees, and that's where we pick things up this morning. So let's look at John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" There are seven statements, seven great I am statements found in John's gospel. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. But there's something really special. There's something unique about the one I am statement that I've just left out. That statement, I am the good shepherd. Each of the seven I am statements reveals something glorious about who Jesus is. But this one, I am the good shepherd, I think is uniquely personal. For starters, none of the other I am images are human, are they? None of the other I am images are human. This is the only one. And in that sense, it's unique. But I think it brings together the divine and human identity of Jesus in such a wonderful way. We know throughout the Old Testament, the imagery of the Lord as the shepherd of his people is there. We know that through the prophets, the Lord promised that he himself would be the shepherd of his people. He would guide them and lead them. The Lord would do it. But this shepherd is also now and always will be enfleshed as a human being. Right? Shepherds are human beings. Shepherds have eyes and hands and feet and a voice. Shepherds have a voice. This image of Christ as the Good Shepherd communicates something wonderfully personal between the shepherd and his sheep. It communicates so much about who he is for them and who we are to him, how he cares for us, his heart for his sheep, and our heart for him because of his love. As Jesus says in these verses, that the good shepherd knows his own, loves his own, and as we'll see, he has been charged by God to look after his own. That's our outline for today. If you want to take notes, the good shepherd knows, the good shepherd loves, and the good shepherd has been charged to care for his own, to look after them. And this is my prayer, this is my hope for us today, that we would know the good shepherd and how he loves us and rest secure in his care, even as he leads us perhaps through deep and dark valleys. There's a contrast in this passage between two kinds of shepherds. Right? There's the good shepherd, and that very title, the good shepherd, implies, doesn't it, that there are bad shepherds. And Jesus has some things to say in this passage about bad shepherds. There are false shepherds. Jesus calls them thieves and robbers and hirelings throughout this passage. But we should notice that even before the good shepherd discourse here in John chapter 10, that this contrast between false shepherds and the good shepherd has already emerged back in chapter 9. In John 9, the man born blind, you remember he was taken before the authorities. In many ways, he was bullied. He was interrogated and ultimately kicked out of the synagogue by false shepherds of Israel because he bore witness to Jesus and his works. He was mistreated by the blind guides and the false shepherds. But when this little lamb is cast out, what does Jesus do? Jesus goes looking for him. He finds him and speaks to him. And again, within the presence of the Pharisees, very likely some of the same Pharisees who kicked this man out of the synagogue, Jesus is going to say these things. He's going to condemn false shepherds. He's going to tell them who he is as the good shepherd. And with the time that we have this morning, I really want to focus on what Jesus says about himself. So first, I want us to think about how the good shepherd knows his own. how the good shepherd knows the sheep. Look again at the first five verses of chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Here's the word picture, the figure of speech that Jesus is working with. Okay, imagine a sheep pen with stone walls all around it, and there's just a single gate. And the sheep pen is located at the center of a village, the center of town. And inside this sheep pen, you have multiple flocks, right? Shepherds would bring in their sheep from the fields, and they would all be joined together in this sheep pen. So you had multiple flocks of sheep in this sheepfold. And there was a hired gatekeeper, somebody who managed the gate, okay, who stayed there and allowed shepherds to come in and bring their sheep out. So a shepherd would come in the morning, and he'd come to the gate. The gatekeeper would open it up for him, and he would call out with his voice to his sheep. The sheep didn't have tags on their ears. They weren't marked to identify who belonged to who. The way that they were identified is when their shepherd called, they heard his voice, and their heads turned, and they went running. And they followed their shepherd out. He would lead them out to pasture. That's the image that Jesus is picturing for us here. It's what he's describing. You can still see this thing today. You can go on YouTube later today if you want and watch this very thing happen. I watched one video where three people came to a flock of sheep, strangers, and they try to call the sheep. And the sheep, they don't even lift their heads. They just stay where they are. All three of them, they go through, sheep don't move. Then their true shepherd comes, and he makes his call, and all the heads pop up, and all of the sheep go running. And it almost looked like they were joyfully running as they went after their shepherd. But Jesus takes this image, and he takes it even further. He emphasizes, did you notice, his personal knowledge of each one of his flock. Do you see that? He knows them each by name. And when they hear his voice, they come running because they recognize his voice. Jesus is no stranger to them. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of Jesus knowing his sheep intimately and personally, and his sheep knowing and trusting him and wanting to follow after him. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep trust and follow their shepherd. But that's where we also need to recognize that there are also thieves and robbers in this picture. There are thieves and robbers who, instead of going through the gate, climb over the fence. They climb in by another way. They don't come through the gate, the one appointed way. They don't go through the gatekeeper, right? Trying to illustrate this, what this would, you know, kind of feel like. We, a while ago, locked ourselves out of our house. And so what do I start frantically looking for a window that isn't latched around our house. And thankfully, there was one. I was able to get it opened up. Okay, but here I am on our front porch as cars are passing by, trying to squeeze awkwardly into this window that's kind of small. And I'm thinking, this is great. Somebody's going to call the police. Because it didn't look like I belonged there. It didn't look like I had any rightful access to that home in that moment. And here are these so-called shepherds who, instead of going through the gate, which Jesus will in a few verses say, identify with himself, I am the gate, right? These guys don't enter through the front door. They climb over the back wall. They have no business there. It's really, I think it's hard for us to appreciate how shocking Jesus' words really are here. Keep in mind, Jesus is saying this about the Pharisees, right? The teachers of Israel, scholars of the Torah, highly respected, highly regarded leaders in the community. And we should also extend this and say he says the very same thing about anyone who is in ministry who does not enter through the gate through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and doesn't care about the sheep. Our context is different, but the danger remains of highly regarded, influential, so-called teachers, and maybe they have a big following. Maybe they've got a bunch of published books. Maybe they do all the social media stuff. Maybe they've got podcasts. Perhaps they have a way with words and just all kinds of ways to get their content out for consumption, and they seem really wise. But what they are is thieves and robbers who are really only in it for themselves. If they've not gone through the gate, if they're not there to serve the sheep. These kind of false shepherds, they don't know the sheep. They don't care about the sheep. They really only care about themselves. And Jesus has the strongest words of denunciation for such false shepherds. So the big difference, though, that Jesus draws between himself as the good shepherd and these false shepherds, at this point, the big difference is his personal knowledge of the sheep. The way that he knows them. And the mutual knowing between shepherd and sheep. Each one known by name. And because he knows them, they know him, they recognize his voice and follow after him. This is a wonderful truth that connects to a longing that all of us have as human beings. Now, some of us, because of sin and shame, in one sense we don't want to be known. Right? We shy away from it. We fear rejection. If somebody really knows me, they might reject me. But that doesn't do away with the fact that as human beings, I think we all have this inherent longing to be in a relationship where we are truly, fully known. And we know the other. And this is what we actually have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want this? Verse 27, Jesus says, he knows his sheep. And as we'll see a little bit more later, this knowing, it's more than just acquaintance. It's more than just knowing facts about someone. This is really a relational word. Jesus knows each of his sheep personally. And yes, that means he knows our wanderings and our weaknesses. He knows our straying. He knows our failures. He knows our needs. And yet he calls us his own. He calls each of you by name. If you see what that means, it means being a Christian. Being a Christian means being known by Jesus and knowing him as your shepherd. Knowing and being known. You see, Jesus, this is, as we think about Jesus talking about himself as the good shepherd, this means Jesus is not the kind of leader who simply demands homage, but does not know or care at all about his followers. You've met those kind of leaders before. Jesus is not a spiritual manipulator or a religious guru who controls and demands allegiance, but does not give a rip about people. He's not that kind of leader. Jesus knows his own, not in the sense that he knows everybody and everything as God, not in the sense of omniscience, but he knows them in the sense that he loves his people and he knows each one intimately. That's the first way Jesus describes himself as our shepherd. that he knows each of us by name, and he doesn't simply demand things of them. He, as we're going to see in just a moment, he cares for them. That takes us to the second thing I want us to see here, the shepherd caring for his own. Look at verses 9 and 10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I am the door. And this is a door of entry. Okay, the only way to be counted among the flock is to enter through the door. Right? You cannot legitimately enter and belong to the sheepfold by any other means, Jesus is saying, than through him, through Jesus. Okay, we might hear that and we might just simply conclude, okay, Jesus is saying he's the only way to be saved. He's the only way to have this abundant life, and that's true, but that is not all that's being said here. Jesus is not just saying he's the only way in. He's also talking about the care he shows as the true shepherd of the flock. Look at how he describes the salvation that he leads his people into. Now, it's contrasted again with the thief who comes to steal and to destroy. Now, immediately, again, in view here are the false shepherds who've climbed in another way. But this can be expanded. This can be expanded to refer to other threats to the flock. You might say Satan. Satan is the ultimate thief who seeks to kill and destroy. But it's also anything that would lead us away from the good shepherd. Anything promising life and peace and joy and security apart from Jesus. These things are thieves that would seek to destroy Christ's flock. But the shepherd calls the sheep out by name. And what's he doing? He's leading them out to pasture in order to feed them. And notice this language of the sheep going in and out. It's a picture of freedom. It's a picture of security, of protection, of provision and peace. The sheep here are well cared for. They are known. They are protected. They are led and provided for. And just think about how those things together give you rest. That someone else has taken total responsibility for your well-being, for your provision. See, the picture is you can go in and out, never on your own, because Jesus is always with you. But in and out without fear of anything. And he's leading us to green pastures and beside still waters. Ultimately, he is leading his people to a place where they will lack nothing. But he came, Jesus says, he came so that you can have abundant life. In fact, if you want to know what lengths the shepherd would go to make sure that you are led to a place of rest, you need look no further than verse 11, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. All right, here's the heart of Christ for his flock. Here is how he makes sure that each one of his sheep, he knows by name, enjoy abundant life. I lay down my life for the life of the sheep. So once again, there's this contrast with the false shepherds in verses 12 and 13. This time, hired hands, not a shepherd. Right? He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees, and then the wolf comes and snatches and scatters the sheep. And Jesus says he flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Another reference to false shepherds and teachers who haven't cared for the people. But what Jesus says here in contrast about himself as the good shepherd is such an incredible comfort. Here's the picture, okay? If danger comes up against his flock, Jesus will not abandon his sheep in order to save himself, to save his own neck. The picture here, pay close attention to the words that Jesus uses, because, okay, wolf coming, shepherd protecting the flock. At this point, you expect some kind of description of the shepherd, you know, using his staff or his sling to fight off the wolf. But that is not how Jesus describes what he does. He says, in effect, I'm going to stand in front of my sheep, and I am going to be devoured instead of them. I am going to die. I'm going to lay down my life so that they may live, so that they may go free. The shepherd will be struck for the sheep. He'll be taken away. And Jesus does this because he cares for the sheep. He cares, friends, for you and me to such a point that he laid down his life so that you could have abundant life. And the imagery of the wolf, again, it's not just limited to false teachers here. This can be expanded to other things that threaten the flock. So you could say that the ultimate wolves threatening God's people are sin and death. And look, if the flock is abandoned, sin will destroy us, won't it? If we are left to ourselves, we're dead. There's no hope. But Jesus is saying, any danger threatening my flock, I deal with it. I deal with it. And he has protected us from sin and death by laying down his life. See the marvelous care of the shepherd here. You are meant to see that you have a shepherd who is willing to stop at nothing, who is willing to stop at nothing to protect you from your enemies. Jesus will not leave you in the hands of anything that will harm you. He's going to protect his sheep. This may require the shepherd wrestling his sheep at times to get them to go where they need to go. But don't for a minute doubt the care of your shepherd, because this is the length that he will go to keep his people safe. He will lay down his life, taking their place. This is how much he cares for his own. And if that's not enough, Jesus goes even further here to tell us how deep his love goes. Have a look at verses 14 and 15. Again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. There's that knowing and being known. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, friends, this should blow your mind, what Jesus is saying in these verses. He says that the relationship with his sheep is in some way analogous to the relationship that the Father and the Son have with each other. When he says, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, to get at what Jesus is saying, replace that word know for a minute with the word love. Because in the Bible, knowing is a love word. As the Father loves me and I love the Father in a similar way, I love them. That's what Jesus is saying. Now think that through. Now, have you ever tried to tell someone how much you love them? If you have, you quickly realize how hard it is. Right? Words fail. And if you're going to try, you've got to go big, right? You don't say, I love you this much, right? You say to your kids, I love you this much. You reach out as wide as you can, right? Kids sometimes say, I love you to the moon and back. And then quickly it becomes a battle. I love you to the sun and back, okay? And you're constantly stretching the limits of language to try to express how you love someone. And when Jesus wants to tell you how he loves his own, he doesn't say, well, I love you as a parent loves their child, even though that's one of the greatest and strongest loves we know in this life. He doesn't say, I love you as a husband loves his wife. He doesn't go there. Jesus says something that is so wildly unimaginable that it boggles the mind. The love he has for us is like the love between the Father and the Son. Friends, there's no greater love than the love within the triune God. And that's where Jesus turns to describe how he loves you. This is where Jesus goes to explain how he knows and loves his own. And just think about who Jesus knows and loves like this, okay? This makes it even more remarkable, if that's possible. Think about it this way. You know, the Father's love for the Son, don't misunderstand me, but the Father's love for the Son, it makes sense, right? Because the Son he's infinitely lovely. There is no imperfection in the Son. The Son is the perfect image of the Father. There is nothing unlovable about God the Son. But who does Jesus say that he knows and loves? If we're going to follow with the imagery here, we've got to say stinking, needy, wandering, helpless sheep. Right? Sheep that go astray. Sheep that need looked after. Sheep that are utterly dependent on someone else. Helpless sheep. Sheep that cannot take care of themselves. That's who Jesus loves like this. It's amazing. His love is analogous to the love between the Father and the Son. This is how he loves us. And friends, it's so, so undeserved, isn't it? And so the shepherd knows and cares for his own. And now I want to just quickly look at the charge given to Jesus to look after his own. I think this ties everything together. Look at verse 16 with me. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. And Jesus here is talking about Gentile sheep. He means people like you and me. People around the world are in view here. Jesus is saying, I've got to gather them in too. And notice this is a matter of divine necessity. Jesus must bring them in. Notice the certainty of it. They will listen to my voice. Those who have been given to Jesus will hear his voice and they will follow him. And then Jesus says in verses 17 and 18, for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now, the Son has always known the love of the Father. What's in view here is that the Father loves the Son who took on flesh and lived a life of perfect obedience to the point of death, even death on a cross. He laid down his life willingly, and God the Father takes delight in the obedience of his incarnate Son. And the charge given to the Son is that he would come and he would voluntarily lay down his life and take it up again. This is the charge that he received from his Father. So you have to see this. This is so crucial. This is all coming from the Father. Jesus does this for his own. Did you notice how many times Jesus talked that way about the sheep? Well, how did the sheep become his own? Well, part of the answer is the Father gave them to the Son as a love gift, right? If you are a Christian, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, one way to understand yourself is that you are a gift, a love gift from the Father to his Son. The Father gave his Son a people, but to gather them, you see, he had to come as their shepherd and lay down his life for them. And as the incarnate shepherd, Jesus says, I have been given authority to lay down my life and take it up again for the life of my flock. But you see, this charge, again, this is what I'm trying to emphasize here, that this charge given to the Good Shepherd comes from the Father. Right? There are these sheep that are lost, and they've gone astray, each one wandering in their own way. They're sheep without a shepherd. They're starving. They're vulnerable. They're going to be devoured. They're going to be lost. They're going to die. They need a good shepherd to go and find them and then lead them out. This is what the good shepherd, the Son of the Father, has been charged to do. But what is that? You have to ask the question, what does that tell us about God the Father? I mean, one of the things that it tells us is that Jesus did not come into the world to make God the Father nice. Right? He didn't come to convince a reluctant father who, you know, delights in judgment and is slow to show mercy. Jesus is saying, my charge reveals my Father's heart toward you. You can put it this way, that my being here is a matter of the love of the Father for lost and straying sheep. I wonder if you can relate to this. Sometimes we question whether the Father really, really loves us because of what's going on in our lives or because of our own personal failures. We doubt his love in difficult times. We struggle to trust him, right? There are things that may be happening in our lives where we start to wonder, well, where's the love and care of God in this? Where is God? You know, watching a loved one suffer with old age and all that comes with it, or when tragedy unexpectedly strikes, when great evil breaks into our lives and we get the unwelcome diagnosis, we can start to wonder, does God really care? Does God really care? So how does hearing our good shepherd help us with this experience? Jesus is reminding us here that we can't look at our present circumstances as the determining factor of whether or not God loves you and whether he loves us. To know how much we are loved, we have to look at the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, and we have to remember where he is leading us, where he's taking us. See, if we measure God's love with our circumstances in a world of tears, it's never going to lead us to rest and joy. We've got to look elsewhere. We have to see something with far more enduring consequence taking place in our lives. So you see, whatever your experience may be, Jesus wants you to know that I am your good shepherd. And this is what your good shepherd is like. He laid down his life to show you how much the Father loves you, how much the Father cares for you. His love and care for you is everlasting, and he promises to lead you in and out, to take you to green pastures and to lay you down beside still waters and to give rest to your soul. Friends, this isn't just nice poetic imagery. Right? This is what we get to say by the grace of God. That no matter what I'm going through right now, this is the reality. That I am known and I have come to know. That I am loved and I have come to love. I have a good shepherd who proved absolutely faithful to the charge that was given to him to look after his sheep so that I might truly live. We can say, I am known, loved, absolutely secure under the care of this shepherd. And this shapes, it ought to shape how we see everything, that regardless of the difficulty, even in the valley of the shadow of death, this is who Jesus is for me. He is my good and faithful shepherd. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we marvel at your love shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we confess that life's troubles still lead us to doubt at times. And so would you please help us to see more clearly the love that you have for us as we look to our good shepherd. Would you please keep us, protect us from false shepherds, from ever being led away. May we know you and love you more because you know and love us in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.